When did you first come to the Strip, 10th 14th Street area of the Strip? When was your first?
I was there in the beginning, pretty much.
What year?
Well, before there was really many people there, before there was anything on the Strip, there was 8th Street. There was also a head shop down on West Beach Street. Is the first one that I remember.
The Morning Glory Seed.
I think that was the name of it.
Yeah.
And there was a lady that ran that place. Mm-hmm. This is my memory now. I may be wrong. I think I read something on your website where somebody else talked about it too.
Yeah, a woman from my hometown used to come up and would buy underground newspapers there from other parts of the country and bring them down to South Georgia.
Okay, well, the lady that ran that place was a reader, and I've always been a reader. Uh-huh. I think that's one thing that a lot of hippies had in common.
Yeah.
Even before I started with long hair or even knew anything such as marijuana existed hardly, I sort of wandered into that place. Mm-hmm. And I had a job Sears and Roebuck, which is what it was called then, had created for college students. And they created it to keep us in college. So we worked odd hours, and usually I was finished at 3:30 in the afternoon, and a lot of times I'd stop by there. And I met her just going in and talking. I wanted to see what that strange looking place was, and we would talk about things. And I can't even remember her name now, but I do remember that, you know, that we were very friendly, and I think she was older than me. Pretty sure she was. And then gradually, I mean, I left Georgia Tech. I lived for a while. I lived out on Covington Highway. I had a house out there. And at that point, somewhere after I left Tech, some other friends of mine lived on Charles Island. And that's where I did my first experiment. And things were so expensive.
Yeah.
You know, if you wanted to buy marijuana, people were paying lots of money for one joint. And I think I got into the drug end of it strictly to find things that were cheaper. But you don't know when you start doing that. If you find somebody that'll sell you, say, 10 hits of LSD for $5 a hit when everybody else is paying 10, well, you think that's a good deal.
Mm-hmm.
But then everybody finds out you've got 10 and they want to buy them from you.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I got into that end of the whole life. I didn't get in it to make money, and I didn't get in it to become a dealer or anything. I just got in it to sort of save money.
Uh-huh. and have things be friends.
Exactly. A lot of us did that in the early days, and it really changed as it got closer into the 70s.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people that were just in it for the money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that example that I just gave you holds true all the way up through. I was buying LSD by the gram. That's a bunch of micrograms.
Yeah, sure is.
At a normal cut, I used to have all that figured out. Is that a 4,000? I believe that's 4,000 hits of 250 mic tabs.
Sounds right.
That sound right?
Yeah.
Okay, and sometimes I would get three of them at a time, 3 grams. Okay, well, so that's 12,000 hits.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, golly, that's like
was it already in hits, or were you?
Yeah, it was already made. Oh, I never had to cap it or anything. They were, In fact, I think that's sort of a myth.
Well, I helped it. Had some chemist at Emory that ran up things and then would soak it in Kool-Aid and Kool-Aid powder and would cap it up. So
I know that there were people that did it, but if you'll talk to some of the people like blotter acid and stuff, that was almost impossible to keep control of. You know, yeah. One blotter may have 1,000 mics and another one may have 100.
Right.
You really couldn't tell what you were doing. So I got it. Usually I got it in bags. And I think it was in, there. You know, this is up around, this is about in 69, not 68. And I had people that, airline pilots, the people that I were buying it, that I was getting it from, and they were out of California. They had the connections. They would get it to me where I didn't have to worry about it. I didn't, you know, someone would bring it to me, and it was, it made it through whatever anybody was doing to look for it. I don't think we had a single shipment that was stopped. It came in film cans.
Say that.
It came in a lot of different ways. But there was a bunch of it. And then in 69, but I don't think, I remember 69 better than I remember 68. I know but 68 was about the same way, but I just don't think I had those quantities. I never kept anything on me. At least if I did, it wasn't much. And if anybody came up and wanted something and I didn't know them, I'd just tell them, go see somebody. Go talk to that fellow down there. I hear he might be able to help you.
Yeah.
And if it was somebody that I knew, I'd say, well, go see so-and-so. He'll help you. And the people that were with me would always make the deals. I didn't make the deals. I had stuff hid all around, all the little parks.
Yeah.
Around there, the little, just going back in toward the old governor's mansion.
Yeah, back in Ansley.
Yeah, back in that area, there's little parks. There's three or four of them back in there. All around Piedmont Park, there are little places where I'd know I could go in there at night and I'd say, okay, there's the big tree. And I'd walk to the tree and then I'd take a left and I'd go 13 feet or something and there would be a spot up under some brush and there'd be a bunch of things there, you know, and that's but I usually, you know, once I got it set, I'd show somebody. Every now and then somebody steals something from me, and then they never come back, and that's just part of it.
Yeah.
But I didn't even have a car for a long time. I wasn't doing it for the money.
Yeah.
That's why I thought it was so funny when they said a warrant had been issued for the LSD kingpin of the South. You know, they played it up like I was one of the richest. In that book that you sent me,
yeah.
That guy, that made it sound like I was some mafia guy, you know. You'd think I was living in a fancy house with a fancy car or something like that. And I lived with friends mainly. After I left the house out there I had a house on Covington. See, that's the way my mind works. I jump around.